So welcome everyone to our pre-Rosh Hashanah class coming up on the year 5783. And again, a happy birthday to our wonderful former administrator emeritus, Mrs. Rina Schoenfeld. Happy birthday at Mea Ve'esrim, 120 very healthy years. So tonight's class, He Who Laughs Last. He Who Laughs Last. So where does that fit into Rosh Hashanah, you may ask? The Kriya Satorah, the Torah reading on day one and day two, come to us from Parshas Vayera. And Parshas Vayera is all about the divine remembrance on Rosh Hashanah of Abraham and Sarah and the birth of a young bouncing baby whose name is Isaac, Yitzchak, who of course his name will mean he shall laugh. He will laugh. Laughter. And then of course, at the end of Rosh Hashanah, the second day, 2 days, we then read of the very difficult, considerably difficult trial, what's called the Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, where God tells him to take the son, as Bincha, as Yechicha, as Sherahavta, take this beautiful bouncing boy who's now a grown-up man, 37 years old, and I want you to bring him up as an offering. He didn't say to kill him, but he didn't say that you wouldn't have to kill him. So it was an amazing test. It was the ultimate of the Asar Nisyonos, the 10 trials of Abraham that Avraham Avinu had to be subjected to. So let's talk about laughter in the context of the life of Isaac, okay? So it's not just that his name means laugh. Everything around his birth, and as you'll see, crucial parts of his life, connect themselves to tzichok, laughter, very strangely. Okay, now how so? So when Abraham and Sarah are each separately made aware of the impending birth, that this 90-year-old, barren, sort of almost sexless woman, Sarah, who's way past birthing times, well, at least maybe today they could, but back then not. So when she is made aware that she's going to have a baby, she laughs. She laughs bikirba within herself. Abraham, the would-be father, he also laughs. He's struck with the incredulity of how amazing it is that God could perform such a miracle, that even in his old age, at 99 years old, going on now 100, he's going to have a baby. It's amazing. So they both laugh individually, and there are different levels of laughter. What was the purpose of the laughter? One is criticized, one is not criticized. That's a separate class. You can tune in for Parshas Vayera in the new year to hear about that. And then, of course, famously, Sarah, upon the birth of Yitzchak, of Isaac, she says, I want to call him Yitzchak. He will laugh. Why? Because everyone who will laugh with joy over the birth of Isaac, let's call him laughter. And then there's more laughter, because a little later on, you have a situation where Yishmael, the not such a good kid of Hagar, of Hagar, he is seen laughing, mocking. They were playing a little game. Apparently, you know, they put an apple or something on the head of Isaac, and he was shooting arrows off the head, and I guess he was a really good hunter, but, you know, Sarah was not impressed, because he's obviously saying, hey, look, I don't really like my little brother Isaac, and I would be better without one less little brother. So they banish Hagar, they banish Ishmael, and again, there's that word laughter there. Okay, very strange. So why would Yitzchak be called laughter? So you may be asking yourselves, well, obviously, he was a comedic personality. He's on the Catskill circuit, even back then. He was at the Homawak Hotel in the good old days, right? If you would analyze every biblical character, every one of them, I dare say, not an exaggeration, that the most unfunny of the biblical characters would be Isaac, would be Yitzchak. He's not going to be touring with Rodney Dangerfield and Henny Youngman anytime soon. Of course, in the next world, one never knows, because they're all in, in the next world, as they say, where the fun either starts or stops. So let's examine Isaac's personality. Each of the avos, each of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're each given a defining character trait. Abraham is Mr. Chesed, Mr. Kindness. He's the ultimate purveyor of kindness. Yaakov, Jacob, is Emes, Mr. Truth. And what is Isaac? Gevurah or Din? Justice, judgment, power. Not exactly words that would be synonymous with Roddy Dangerfield, Henny Youngman, etc. So I don't know that Yitzchak, you know, cracked jokes a lot. He had a very serious, a very difficult life. If you think about it, you know, he almost lost his life, potentially, when he was young. And then he was blind at a very young age. And he had a son named Esau, who manipulated him year after year after year and played a game. Kitzai the thief, he hunted him and manipulated him. And only in the very end, when Jacob dresses up as Esau, right, is the ruse blown up. And Isaac understands who his good son is and who is the other guy, Esau. So can you imagine the shock? I mean, poor Isaac was devastated because he blamed himself for not being able to properly raise Esau and give him what he needed. So he didn't have a very laughable, laughter-filled life. So then what's his association with Yitzchak? Why would mom name him laughter? Like, it sounds strange. And more than that, let me ask you a question. If he is so closely associated as laughter with justice, how do we reconcile that? Is there a connection? Yeah, there is actually, a very big one. But is there a connection, superficially, between Judgment Day, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Judgment, and somehow the ability to laugh? Seems like a stretch, right? I'm not sure. That's going to be interesting to see. So how do we figure this one out? So let's examine laughter for a moment, okay? Shall we? So what is very interesting, fascinating about laughter. By the way, I heard a great line today. Somebody asked Robin Williams, who was not Jewish, by the way. Somebody made a comment like, how come there's not more laughter in our world? So Robin Williams turned to the guy and said, because you killed them all in the Holocaust. You know, all the funny people in the world. Okay, I thought it was a very poignant line for Robin Williams to understand. But it's a powerful line. I never heard it quoted exactly in Robin Williams' name, but it's kind of right on. Right? Jewish comedians are pretty legendary. So how do we examine justice from the vantage point of laughter? And are they related? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to explain a joke to somebody who just doesn't get it? It's impossible. You can't. Good luck, right? You especially younger children, right, who don't have the experience or the know-how to understand the subtlety of your punchline. It's nothing worse, right, than when you go on with a nice long joke. I always joke with Neil when he gave his favorite joke about the Ferrari guy. I said, you tell a joke for 5 minutes, Neil, it better have a really good kick at the end, a good payoff, or they're not going to be happy, right? So laughter cannot be explained. You can't explain laughter. A person gets it, or they don't. Maybe in the oven. First thing, neither understands it, or they don't understand it. You can't explain it to somebody. Why should that be? So I think if we examine this, maybe we'll understand a little bit more about this correlation, if you will, between laughter and justice. And maybe it makes sense that Yitzchak, Isaac, Mr. Unfunny, potentially, should be so closely associated with his name laughing, and yet he's Mr. Justice. Think about it for a moment. Where does humor source itself? Think about it. You have a story, and there's an expectation in the story for a certain outcome. And more often than not, the humor comes from your expectation is blown away. It doesn't end the same way, and it's ironic, it is ludicrous, it's outlandish, the behavior that you expect devolves to something else, and you say, oh my gosh, that was great, right? But think about it for a moment. justice demands a baseline of accepted behavior and norms. And when a person deviates from the norm, justice brings that individual or society back off their sort of departure from the norm and demands that they be held accountable and there be a norm. So I would dare say that if there isn't a norm, meaning if there isn't a society that has a baseline of justice, judgment, whatever you want to call it, then there's nothing that's funny. Sadly, in our world today, there's a lot of humor that probably would just go away because somebody might say, because there's so many, you hear about so many ludicrous ideas out there. And the problem with that is that somebody tells you a joke, instead of laughing, you say, well, wait a minute, that might be true. There might be somebody out there who, you know, sleeps hanging upside down like they do in Dr. Seuss or whatever the writing. It's not so outlandish because we've heard, right? We were exposed to all these crazy details on the internet and everything else. So maybe the outlandish behavior sort of squashes actual humor, because then instead of your audience laughing at the departure, they're saying, well, you know what? Maybe that really could happen. Maybe that's true. Maybe in Oklahoma they did this, right? We don't know. So therefore, I would dare say there's a very close connection, if you will, that in order to have the departure in the humorous way, you need an expectation for proper behavior, what the outcome should be in a normative situation. But what if you don't have a normative situation? Maybe there's no humor. So do you see how justice sort of gives you the baseline for expectation? The departure gives you your ludicrous aspect that's hopefully funny. So therefore, they are kind of related, right? What's even more fascinating, did you ever experience a situation where you walk into a situation in a room or in a, just wherever you are, and there's someone in tears, but you weren't there to see what elicited the tears? How would you know whether they just lost a loved one, a tragedy happened, or whether they just simply finished a Jackie Mason routine and they're crying from laughter, right? So the context, correct, of what you are seeing, it's not at all clear, just based on the laughing, whether the laughter is from horror and pain or it's from a fantastic little comedic routine or joke they just heard. It's not clear at all. So again, there's sort of a blurring of this laughter issue with life experience itself. You can laugh from pain and you can laugh from the absurdity of life itself. Interesting. So now I think we've mined the connection between Isaac's name and laughter, correct? But what does that come to do with Rosh Hashanah? Because it's all about laughter and Rosh Hashanah. So let me share a couple of approaches with you, okay? When Abraham and Isaac are commanded to go up to this mountain, Mount Moriah, Har Moriah. And it took 3 days for them to journey there. So they would have lots of time to debate the merits and demerits of God's tzivui, his command. And Hashem even said, look, Abraham, I know you've done excellent up to this point. You've done 9 trials, you passed them with flying colors. Please don't let me down with this one. This is the one that really matters. Take your son and bring him up to the mountain. And I'll tell you what to do when you get there. He didn't ever use the word kill, human sacrifice. But clearly, in the mind of Abraham, he knows that the word olah, offer up, could mean this. And you know what? Abraham did not close his mind to that. Even though, what did God's command do to Abraham? Can you imagine? He's lived his life literally from when he was a little boy in pursuit of truth of our world, in pursuit of God. And antithetical to the pursuit of God and his entire life, God's now saying, maybe, do the most outrageous, horrific crime in the world that is, up to this moment, abhorrent to God. Child sacrifice? Like what? What does that mean? Now, it's not called the binding of Abraham, is it? Significantly, it's called Akedat Yitzchak. So it's clearly Isaac's test equally so. So what does that mean for Isaac? He's going, and he says to his father, it's right there in the Torah on the journey, he says, Abba, he says, they're going. He says, I see the knife, and I see the wood. Ayehaseh, where's the offering? Where's the lamb? Where's the sheep for offering? And remember what Abraham says? God's going to show us the sacrifice. Isaac knows what that potentially could mean. He doesn't run away. He doesn't shirk his duties, commitment to Hashem. And it says, Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav. The two, Abraham and Isaac, go together purposefully as one, knowing what it could mean. Now, Isaac never really recovered from this because, yes, he wasn't touched. Not one drop of blood was shed. We know that. But what would that have done to the psyche of Isaac? For no reason, arbitrarily, in the extreme, God is saying, life can just be extinguished. You're not deserving of this death penalty, but it could happen. So there's a very powerful message here, for, I think, for all of us. We all take, and I'm including myself, I'm guilty, we take life for granted, because life is granted to us. We always believe that life, and not the opposite, death, is the default position. But we're not real. It's not true. There's a whole lot more people who are not here than are here. And it's not simply a given. The fact that God creates a universe and an earth that is unique to support mankind, and that we develop in such a way, is not arbitrary at all. It's unique in our entire galaxy. Nowhere else in the Milky Way do you have such an effect. So it's amazing that God designed this. And then within the confines of that Bria, that world that he creates, life itself is so magical. We're here for such a short time relative to the eternity of Hashem and our universe. So what did Isaac learn, and what does he teach us with this? Because we're Isaac's children too. Remember, he's our great-great-grandfather. So what does that teach us? The moments that define us are the moments that God grants us in this world, because life is not a given. The purpose of life is a gift of opportunities that God has said they're yours. Use these opportunities. Use these moments, because it's not forever. You're only here for a short time. And life itself is a gift. So the absurdity of our universe and the fact that life could be snuffed out in a moment, it balances everything. So from the perspective of Isaac of Yitzchak, our great-grandfather, he learns a very difficult lesson. But that lesson is now our genetics. And we know as Jews that life is not just to be taken for granted. And each and every moment is a gift from God. And that's what defines us as a human being. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is all about an idea that, you know, mi yechya umi yamut. Let's get down to brass tacks here, guys. Who's going to live and who's going to die? Don't assume that next Rosh Hashanah, everyone here is going to be here. You can't assume that. Okay, so if I can't assume that, then what does that mean for me? It means, wake up! Shofar blast! Waken! Right? Mishnecha. Get up from your slumber. Open your eyes and see the gift I've given you and use this. And that's what Isaac dedicated his whole life to. So the laughter of Isaac is a laughter at the exuberance to be a participant in this magical game of life. And that's how we approach it. So in other words, after tragedy, you have to go on. You don't laugh at death. But you say, you know what, I have to live. And that's the whole process we have of coming to terms with a loss. And eventually that 12-month process, that Yud Beis Chodesh, the months of mourning of Avelu transform themselves into comfort. And we incorporate our new vision. That's Isaac. In other words, Isaac got up from a near-death experience, if you will, at the Akedah. And he laughed at the absurdity of life itself, because it doesn't always make sense. And that's the beauty of our lives. So let me leave you with one last thought. A Sarah thought, but an Isaac thought, okay? Here it is. Why is he called Isaac? So Sarah says, Kol HaShomea Yitzachak Li. Anyone who hears, who listens to the profundity of my birth, of what it means for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a child, their first and only child at that age, how crazy that is. And anyone who responds that way with laughter and joy and says, oh my gosh, wow, a 100-year-old, 90-year-old have a child? Like this is insane. And if you laugh with Sarah and with Abraham, and that laughter is a celebration of joy of life itself and how life is just insane sometimes. Life is just, you have to laugh. So if you are one who laughs with Sarah, Rashi says something magical happened. Everywhere in the world, as the word spread, as the carrier pigeons, the original tweets, literal, right? Twitter, little birds. As the birds flew with the information of the birth of Isaac and the old age of Abraham and Sarah, anyone who laughed with joy over Yitzchak, over Mr. Laughter's birth, they had joy in their lives. They got to laugh. And if someone was a barren, they had a child within that year. If somebody was ill, they were healed. In other words, if we on Rosh Hashanah, when we hear about Yitzchak again and the divine remembrance of what it means to be a Jew and the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, this once in a year, but maybe once in a lifetime opportunity to really reshape and reform ourselves, if we will take this and we will remember about the laughter of Isaac himself and how he came to terms with this, if we will share other people's laughter and joy. So instead of being jealous of others for their success, if we will just share the simcha, then the simcha comes back on us. So if we open ourselves to others and share the joy of others and hear the laughter of others, Hashem promises us, this is Sarah's promise to everyone, that that laughter will manifest itself in your own life. I think our world today, I think everyone would agree, we need a lot of laughter in our world. We've just kind of lost the ability to laugh at ourselves and to laugh at just the nature of how life is. And remember, Yitzchak's name means he will laugh. Not laughter, but he shall laugh. And we are his children. So he who laughs, laughs. And we are the Jewish people, and we've gone through many akedot, many bindings, many painful moments, the way Isaac and Abraham went through these challenges, where there actually was blood spilled, and we have emerged from the other side. And so this Rosh Hashanah, when we hear the story of the divine remembrance and the little bouncing baby named Isaac, and we understand this gift of life, we should all merit the wake-up call of the shofar to the immense, enormous opportunity that we have in our world, the magnificence of God's world, and how we are privileged to be participants in the game of life. We should share laughter this year for ourselves, for your families, for our community, and for our world. I wish everyone a Shana Tova.